Renegade Health Radio.
Renegade Health Radio. This is Kevin Gianni with Frederick Patnaud. Today we're going to talk about quitting. What do you think about quitting, Fred?
Quitting. I think it's a great idea. People think about quitting all kinds of things. They're going to quit drinking. They're going to quit smoking. They're going to quit caffeine and stuff like that. Or incorporate a new habit for 30 days or something. So for me, it's really the insight for today is sort of what kind of 30-day challenge can you create for yourself?
Yeah.
And what kind of results is it going to have? So I find it interesting to run these little experiments, you know, going 30 days with regular exercise, going 30 days without caffeine, going 30 days without salt, although that one is a tough one, but going 30 days without oil is the one that we talked about. Going 30 days on raw foods only without cooked food. You know, there's all kinds of these things you can try to see what impact it's going to have on your health.
Well, I think when, I think when you kind of get into health or you're in health or you've been here for ages, there's always that like one thing that you're doing that you're just like, you know what? I'm like, I don't know if I should be doing this. I really don't feel if it's healthy for, I don't feel it's that healthy for me, or maybe it is, but I just don't feel comfortable doing it or whatever. And it, and the scale ranges from, you know, someone who's into like, you know, crazy raw food and they're just like, I just need to stop eating bananas, you know, or someone who's not into health at all. And they're just like, man, I just need to quit smoking cigarettes, you know? So, I mean, it's just, and the emotion and the energy is the same, but the question is, how do you get to it? How do you actually create that behavior that you want to do? And whether you're right or wrong about the health benefits of it or not, I mean, I think the Jedi kind of like mind thing that you can master is the art of quitting. And the art of quitting involves, you know, a couple of things. And during this podcast, we'll tell you some stories about our own experiences. But the art of quitting for me always stems and always starts from the fact that nothing is permanent. So that's always for me like the start of it, because I always look at, you know, when you're going to quit something, say it's like, you know, chocolate or caffeine or one of those things that has this emotional hold on you, the last thing you want to hear is that you can never have that thing again, because that's going to stop you from quitting right off the bat. Do you agree with me, Fred?
Oh yeah. I mean, unless someone has a real problem with a substance, like, you know, real problem with alcohol, then they might actually want to think about going for the rest of their lives without it, because otherwise they kind of open the door to always going back, you know, a true drug problem or something. But otherwise, I totally agree. If you think this is like, you know, something you're going to do for the rest of your life, like when I became a raw foodist, I thought I'm going to stop eating cooked foods for the rest of my life. And of course I was young, so it sounded like a great idea. But over time I realized this is not something I want to do for the rest of my life. You know? So yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So when I think about quitting, I think about some of the things that I've quit in the past, and definitely I'd say cigarette smoking is one of them for me. And in that instance, it was an experience where there was enough pain. I was in college and I had gone down to a spring break party, in New Orleans with a couple of friends. And by the time I came back, I was so sick. Like I had smoked so many cigarettes. I had drank so much beer that like, by the time I'd come back, like my entire throat just didn't even know, but I mean, I know now that if I had looked at it, it would have been inflamed and like, and just, I don't even know, just disgusting if I'd looked at it in the mirror. And that to me was just, there was enough pain where I could barely even swallow my food because I was physically sick too, like, you know, fever, that I just said, you know what, I just can't do this anymore. And that's when I quit. So obviously pain is one of those factors when it comes to quitting. But so is that fear of, you know, if you continue to do it, what is going to, you know, what's going to happen? Fred, let me ask you this, Fred, when you were coming from raw food to eating cooked foods again, something that you thought you were going to be doing for the rest of your life, what was it like on the other side quitting raw foods? Was there some angst or some trouble?
Oh, yeah. it was a big emotional kind of a dilemma, because once you've convinced yourself you're never going to do something for the rest of your life, and especially when you build an identity around it and a belief system around it, then once you revert back to the whatever you were doing before, it's just very confusing. And for me, it was very strange. I had a lot of guilt. I had to deal with a lot of that for many years, just the transition, because I didn't feel at ease in the new, you know, environment of eating, being able to eat cooked foods, but I didn't want to go back to eating raw food. So I was kind of in a no man's land of, I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. I didn't feel I could be normal, but at the same time, I didn't feel like I wanted to be a raw foodist, like it was working for me. So it was a big transition period to find that balance or that in between, which, you know, eventually, and now I think of it and it's, now it's simple. You know, my healthy eating and so on is, it's not a source of stress anymore, but it was, you know, because of that attachment and that idea. So quitting a philosophy is difficult when you used to think it was going to work for the rest of your life and it was going to be the answer. And then you realize, oh my God, maybe I'm not immortal. Maybe I'm not immune to every disease known to man. You feel like, oh, you've lost kind of your superhuman power. So you thought you had, which in fact you didn't really have, but you thought you had it.
You're not immortal, Fred.
No, I'm not. But on a raw food diet, I thought I was pretty close to that at first.
known to cause delusions of grandeur. One of the reasons why this came up, guys, which probably you're wondering, is because I am kind of at a crossroads right now in my own personal life about quitting something. Should I tell them what it is, Fred? Yeah. All right. So what it comes down to is I quit coffee a long time ago. I quit coffee maybe 10 years ago. And then maybe 2 years ago, I started to do an experiment. And it was kind of a loosely controlled experiment. And I kind of wanted it to go in my favor, meaning that I would be able to drink coffee on a regular basis. And only after about 2 months, the experiment kind of went bad. So my hands would get clammy. I'd feel all these adrenal symptoms that I felt before. My adrenals were in bad shape. It was more difficult to get out of bed. I felt, you know, very strongly addicted to it again. So I would need more than one cup or two cups in the morning and then into the afternoon. And so for me, that was a sign. I was like, I'm done. You know, I gotta stop drinking coffee. And this was, you know, organic, fair trade, you know, all that good stuff. This wasn't the Dunkin' Donuts that I used to drink when I was in grad school. So what happened was I replaced it with green tea. And everything was good until I would say about 2 months ago, two and a half or a month and a half ago, when I started drinking more green tea. So I started drinking more because I'm writing this book, and you know, almost synchronistically, I'm writing this chapter on coffee as I'm starting to, or coffee and caffeine as I'm starting to drink more green tea. And what I'm learning is that there are certain genes that make you. That allow you to be, well, that can tell if you're either sensitive to coffee or not, which I happen to have the gene expression that does make me sensitive to coffee. And there's also genes that allow you to be, to allow you to be fast or slow metabolizers of caffeine. And I also am a slow metabolizer of caffeine. So looking at this, you know, clearly, you know, caffeine is not, you know, in my wheelhouse, or not at least, you know, drinking a lot of it or ingesting a lot of caffeine, whether it's from coffee or green tea or chocolate or any other source. Also within those genes, I don't remember if it's in the same ones or if it's another one, but there's also a gene or is an expression of a gene that, that actually shows that people who have this particular, phenotype, they actually are, more susceptible to heart palpitations. And I remember talking to a friend maybe about 11 or 12 years ago about her decision to stop drinking coffee because of heart palpitations. And she said that, you know, she would get them. And then when she stopped drinking coffee, she wouldn't, then she'd go back and she'd get them again. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I started to feel these heart palpitations right after I had done that research in, you know, for the coffee chapter. And I instantly linked it together because I thought about her. I thought about, you know, my susceptibility to caffeine. And so, you know, for the last, I would say even for the last like 2 weeks, you know, I've been getting these palpitations, still not wanting to give up green tea, but now I'm at the point where I have to. I just feel that, you know, I have to do an experiment. And again, this is not permanent sort of thing, but I feel like I have to do one of these 30-day experiments that Fred was talking about to see if after 30 days or 40 days or 50 days, if I stop getting these palpitations, and then to determine, you know, where I'm going to go from there. So just an interesting kind of roundabout experience that led me to this decision now that I have to cut back on my green tea or quit, which is kind of disappointing because in the middle of writing a book, which I still am now, it's not really the my caffeine fueled writing bursts. I don't know what I'm going to do without them.
Well, it's, I think caffeine is this thing that, I mean, we've talked about it many times, even though we did an episode on tea and so on, and the dangers of coffee and then possibly replacing that with tea and some people being, you know, different kinds of teas possibly having some benefits. But definitely, I mean, the substance caffeine is a drug. I mean, it's a stimulant, right? It does some stuff on the body. And I don't think anybody needs it. Like, I don't think anybody, you know, needs caffeine like you need food. It's something we kind of get used to and we consume. And I also drink green tea these days. And I would like to see, you know, what it'd be like not to drink it at all. Like, what, not to drink any caffeine, any source of caffeine whatsoever for like a year or something, or 6 months. I mean, that's an experiment I'd like to do. But I, like you said, I mean, you got to go with the priorities. And right now you are feeling that you need to quit this for a while to see what happens. And for me, I mean, I recently like completed a, 30 days of like exercising every day. And that was, you know, that was a great experiment. And then I'm through like over 30 days without any alcohol at all. And I like that. I realized, yeah, I actually like not having any alcohol most of the time. Like, I feel better. But I'm not at the point of saying I'm not going to have any green tea also. so it's like, but I might get to that point at some point, and then I'll run a 30 days experiment and see, you know,
never look back,
see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm never going to look back, but something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think the benefit of that, nothing is permanent sort of philosophy. It's that, hey, you know, I'm just going to try this for a couple of days, even a couple of days, you know, I mean, and I think that's the benefit of maybe even the weekend cleanse or kind of a, you know, kind of this evolved cleansing mindset. You know, I think a lot of people think, oh, I got to do this cleanse for 7 days. And then at the end of 7 days, I can like take a breath. And cleansing to me is more of a lifestyle than it is this like 7 day thing. And then you go back and you eat whatever the heck you want. And most people won't do that, but it's not this sort of thing where you have to stick to this rigid human constraint of 7 days for cleansing. I mean, you know, you can very easily cleanse in 4 days. You can easily even cleanse from some things in a day or two. But that rigid 7 days where you start to battle yourself, say it's a juice fast or it's a water fast or it's a smoothie fast or it's whatever, you know, you battle yourself for those 7 days. And then at the end, you know, you're done, but it was really painful, you know, for cleansing for me. Like I like to start, like, actually I started yesterday just for the heck of it. And I had a couple smoothies and then I had dinner, you know, in a normal cleansing program, like you might not have that, you know, but today I had a smoothie and I had a green juice. And so then we'll see where that takes me. I don't know where I'm going to go tonight. I might have a salad or I might have another smoothie, but to think that like the baseline is either water, smoothie or juice is a better way, I think, in a more lifestyle based way to cleanse than a full on, you know, 21 or, you know, even like, you know, 60 or 40 day kind of things. Though I think there's a place for those, for people who really feel like they need to have that structure. I think the evolution of that is moving towards something where you already know you can have the structure. You already know that you're well cleansed and you can maintain on a different way.
And how do you do like a 30-day program? Let's say people would like to try a 30-day program of something. You know, how do you do that? Because I think if you try something like having a green smoothie every day, something easy, it's not that much of a challenge. But when you're giving up something like alcohol or caffeine or even salt, something that where your body requires a little bit of adaptation, I think you have to be aware that you're going to go through a period where you're going to feel like shit. Like, let's say caffeine, or you're not going to feel, especially if you drink coffee, that you're going to go through a period of not being functional. You know, you could transition and slowly reduce the amount to give it up. And with salt, you're going to go through a period where nothing tastes good, right? And until your taste buds adjust to salt and so on. So if you used a substance that's like that, it's, you know, it requires an adaptation. So what's the best way to go through, like, what do you think, Evan, to go through a 30-day program?
Well, I think, again, it starts with that nothing is permanent mentality. And the second thing that I think is, it's always worked for me, is to replace that habit with something else. So you don't, it's not necessarily replacing it, you know, food for food or drink for drink or whatever, but it's just replacing that habit with something else. So for instance, with green tea, when I finally quit, again, I haven't had green tea today, but you know, I had it yesterday. So I'm, you know, this is a really new 30-day challenge for myself, but I'll replace that with holy basil. And I will replace it with holy basil tea, non-caffeinated. It's really good adaptogen, something that I really like and I enjoy. And I'm hoping that just the replacement of that is enough for me to not have to worry about drinking green tea ever again. Now, my concern is that I write at the coffee shop and they don't have anything. So, you know, what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to either have to find a coffee shop that has holy basil or make a deal with them where, you know, I pay for the cup so I can sit at their table, bring my own holy basil. I don't know, but it's funny when you're trying to quit something, like your mind comes up with these like crazy things that like, you know, you don't want to adjust. Why would I adjust? I've been doing this routine for so long. You know, now I'm going to be lost. And so your mind starts to create these things. So beware of those as well. It's just like quitting alcohol or something like that. You know, it's like, yeah, I'll quit alcohol, but after the holidays, because we're going to be at, you know, grandma's, you know, so-and-so's, you know, seven seafood party, and they have, you know, all this wine, and then we're going to have champagne toast at New Year's, and we're going to have all this sort of stuff. You're like, well, you can't, that's your mind just creating the excuse to not do the thing. Believe me, it's, you know, you can go to all these things without alcohol, or you can, you know, go to the coffee shop without green tea. You can do all these things. And additionally, you know, if you're just an example for alcohol, and then I'll get off the soapbox here, is if you do drink alcohol and you're having trouble quitting, one great replacement is having some seltzer water, like some, you know, some mineral water, some Pellegrino, something that like that with lemon. And that actually is a fairly suitable, thing to kind of replace. If you have, you know, a couple glasses of wine in the evening, something like that, you can just replace it with a little bit of Pellegrino and some lemon, and you'd be surprised at how long that goes and how far that goes to get you out of, I guess, that habit of just coming home and you know, having alcohol, or even with you, if you're out at a party with friends, you can or at a restaurant, you can get that, and you'll be sufficiently surprised. It'll be a nice transition for you.
And I think there's also like a power in like quitting something cold turkey, you know, because let's say you, you know, you drink coffee regularly or alcohol, and then you quit cold turkey. That's when you realize the impact that that substance has on you. If you kind of slowly reduce the amount, you know, you slowly get used to the change. But if you quit like cold turkey, you realize, wow, that substance really was affecting me, and was like, physiologically, because you see like immediately, like you see a difference. Maybe you're craving it, or maybe you're going through a transition period or something happens. And that, you know, I think that it's not always easy for some things, but there is a power in doing that, because you're confronted with the reality of you know, your relationship with the substance or the food or whatever you're trying to quit, you know, sugar or something like that.
Yeah. One of the, it's kind of like this proximity thing that I think about by, and there's some people who can slowly reduce and there's some people who can't. And for me, like I look at slowly reducing as just temptation over and over and over again. And there'll always be that time if you're slowly reducing chocolate or something like that. And you eat that piece of chocolate, you're like, oh, well, today I'm going to reward myself or something like that. Maybe I'll have a little bit more. And there's always that chance for you to, I guess, relapse would be the word for it. Relapse on your own personal goals. You know, who's to say that eating chocolate is an addiction or not, or, you know, all these sorts of, you know, we can discuss that maybe on another time. But when you have that thing in front of you and you're trying to at least give it up for 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 days, there's no reason to put it in front of you in small doses as you're titrating down, because unless it's like a medication or something like that. And you know, it's something that really your body needs to physically and chemically adjust to at a really high level, which in some cases medicines do, but it's better not to have it in the house. It's better not to have it in the cabinet. It's better not to have it in the refrigerator. It's better not to even, you know, be in contact with it. And then slowly, almost what's better to titrate is actually to go back to being around it again. So that's almost something, slowly go back to being around it is actually something that is probably more advisable, at least in terms of my personality and the way that I deal with these things. It's like, well, don't just jump back into, say, you know, if you stop eating chocolate for 20 days, don't go to like the world's largest chocolate fest and, you know, just like go there and, you know, hope that you're going to have enough willpower to get out of it. No, you walk by, you know, the candy aisle that you used to walk by all the time. And you just say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to have any of this right now. So you do that in small doses. And then maybe in a couple of years, you can go to the world's largest chocolate fest. I don't know. There still might be too much.
So what, Kevin, do you think are the, you know, good 30-day challenges that people could try? Because I mean, we know about the 30-day, I don't know, like raw food challenge. Yep. You can try eating raw foods for 30 days. You can try eating maybe a vegan diet for 30 days. Yep. No caffeine, no alcohol, regular exercise. No salt maybe for some people. No oil. We talked about that. Maybe eating greens for every day.
Yeah.
Like a certain amount, maybe 1 pound. What else?
Well, TV.
No TV, yes.
Yeah, no TV for 30 days. It'd be hard for me, but no internet for, even if it's for 7 days.
No masturbation, yes, for guys. That's
or
one too.
Females.
Mm-hmm. It's usually more guys, mm-hmm, who want to do the challenge.
No sex as well.
No sex. Or what's up with that?
Or for males, no ejaculation. That's
Oh yeah.
That's one of those things.
That's, yeah, a little That could be interesting. Mm-hmm. No food, no water. No, just kidding.
Those are some. I'm sure that there are plenty more. And if you guys have any ideas, go ahead and post them on the blog. Any sort of 30-day challenges that we missed that you've experienced, let us know. Post them on the blog. And if you like this podcast, go ahead and post a comment on iTunes. Let everyone else in the world know that this is worth listening to. Take care.
Renegade Health Radio.